Amen. Hallelujah. You know, over the last few weeks and months, I've been going through some a series of teaching on the integrity of God's Word. And I want to just continue that this morning, but I want to look at it in the light of the resurrection. And so if you've got Bibles, you want to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke 24. You know, on resurrection morning, certain women went down to the tomb where they laid Jesus a few days earlier. And as they approached this tomb, you know, as they were walking up to it, you know, I don't know what their conversation was about. We don't know that. The Bible doesn't give us that information. But no doubt they were talking about what they were going to do, how they were going to fully embalm the body of Jesus, and because it was all a rush on the day they put him in the tomb. They did it hurriedly, you know, they just, because the Sabbath was approaching, it was getting close to the, you've got to appreciate in Jewish way of life, the Sabbath starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, the new day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. So as they, we know from the scriptures that Jesus was on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, so there's only a few hours, so they took him down, they got him off the cross, they just put him in the tomb, and they said, they'll come back on the first day of the week and finish their process of embalming the body. So no doubt they're talking about all this as they're going down, but as they approach the tomb, they see that the stone that was put in front of the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. And as they ventured into the tomb, they saw that the body of Jesus had gone. He wasn't there. And as they wondered about it, the Bible says this in verse 4 of Luke 24. It says, it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. They wondered about it. It says that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Two men, two angelic beings spoke to them. And he said to them, look, he said, he asked them a question. He says, why, this is verse 5, he says, why did you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. What a greeting. They come down to this tomb with the purpose of embalming Jesus, or preparing his body and doing whatever was necessary. They brought the spices with them. They brought the cloths and things to wrap him in. And they're greeted by these two men that says, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? I'm sure that just probably went straight over their heads. You know, these men talking about? And then they said, he is not here, but is risen. And then the angel said something to the disciples, Mary and the disciples there, and those that came to the tomb, something important. And it says this, he said, remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. Well, not quite those words, but that's my translation of it. Remember what he said to you. In Mark's Gospel, it said this. It says this. It says, as he said to you. So immediately these angelic beings are pointing the disciples, they're pointing the women, they're pointing those that have come down to the tomb. They're saying, look, he said, go back and remember what he has said. Think about it. What has he said to you? So we're talking about the integrity of the Word of God. Because Jesus had already spoken to them previously on many occasions about his death and his resurrection. And if you want to just turn up a couple of those, if you want to come with me, we'll go back to Luke's Gospel chapter 9, since that's where we're in Luke. In Luke 9 verse 44, Jesus speaking to his disciples, it says here in verse 46, they were all amazed at the majesty of God. But while everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, he says, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. So there he's telling that he's going to be betrayed. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, these are just a couple of instances where Jesus spoke to them about his coming death and resurrection. In Matthew 12, verse 39 and 40. They came looking for a sign from him, and Jesus answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Then he makes it a little bit more clear in chapter 16. In chapter 16, it's in Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. You know what? Now, he prepared them, he spoke to them, he told them, he said, look, this is the way it's got to be. And that, there are just a few instances in the scriptures, and if you go through, you can find more, where Jesus actually said, look, he says, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again the third day. Now, there's some reason they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, what the Bible says in... They didn't understand. In John chapter 20, it says they didn't understand. It actually uses those words. They had no revelation. You know, it had just gone over their heads. They hadn't really heard what Jesus said. You know, in this chapter that we're in Matthew 16, you know, this where Jesus begins to tell them that he's going to go to Jerusalem, he's got to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests, he's got to be he's going to be put up on a trial, on false charges, you know, there's all these things. He said, I'm going to be killed, raised again the third. You know, this followed on an important account in the life of Peter. You know, Peter had just... They just come from up the mountain where Jesus had asked them that question. He says, you know, who do men say that I am? Then he says, who do you say? You know, Peter, by revelation of the Spirit of God, spoken, he said, look, he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, he says, you're blessed, Simon. You're blessed because you've heard that direct from God the Father. You've had it revealed to you. So this doesn't come from flesh and blood. It hasn't come from man. It's come direct from the Holy Ghost. Direct from my Father. You've received that revelation. You know, Peter... And Jesus went on and said, look, he says, I'm going to build my church upon the rock. Now, he wasn't talking about Peter. He wasn't talking about a system or a government. He wasn't talking about anything else. He wasn't talking about a man. You know, he's talking about that revelation of the Word of God. He's going to build his church upon that Word of God. That revelation of that Word. You know, Peter must have felt really good that day. You know, Jesus had called him blessed. Jesus had said, look, you've got that from my Father direct. You know, then he goes on, he says, look, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed in heaven. And it's following that very account where Jesus then began to explain to them that he's got to go to Jerusalem, he's got to suffer, he's got to die. And do you know what Peter did? He couldn't grasp it. He grasped that important revelation from heaven that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of the living God. But then when Jesus began to tell him that what the role of the Messiah meant, that he had to go and die and be raised again, Peter couldn't take it. And he says, far be it from you, Lord, that this will happen. It won't happen like that, Jesus. And Jesus was one, you know what he was like? Peter was one of these, you know. You know, if they all desert you, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be strong. You know, that's never going to happen, Jesus, he said. And Peter received a word from Jesus which wasn't as good as what he'd just heard. Jesus just called him blessed. Jesus just called him... just spoke perhaps even to his ego. Perhaps he was feeling a bit on top of it. And then Jesus turns to him and says, Peter, shut up. He says, you've not got the mind of God, you've got the mind of man. Actually, he said it strongly. He said, get behind me, Satan. Wow. What a difference. The one whom Jesus just called blessed, now he's saying, get behind me, Satan. Your thoughts aren't in line with God's thoughts. Your thoughts are in line with man's thoughts. You're thinking the way men think, not the way God thinks. Peter couldn't grasp it. But Jesus did tell them. Now, they didn't understand. And that's what the message was from those angelic beings. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. Remember how he spoke to you. You know, he's already said it. Now, on that resurrection day, that happened in the morning where those women went down to the tomb. They went down with that purpose of embalming Jesus. They met these angelic beings and said that he's not here, he's risen. And to go back and remember what he'd said. Now later on in the day, two of them were going home or going down to a village. I presume it was their home. A little village called Emmaus, which the Bible tells us in verse 13 of Luke 24 is just 7 miles journey from Jerusalem. It's not far, it's just a short journey. Well, I say a short journey, we'd say it's nothing to us. But you've got to remember, they weren't driving in their Mercedes down to Emmaus. They weren't even going on donkey or camel. They were walking the journey, 7 miles. That's somewhere, depending on how fast you walk, it's probably 2 to 3 hours walking. Now, I don't suppose they were going very fast because they would, if you're walking together with someone and you're talking, your pace slows down. Don't forget, it was warm and hot, so perhaps they're not rushing either. So this is probably a good 3 hours, maybe even more, journey to this village in Emmaus. And as they're walking, they're beginning to talk about all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. They're talking about how it was wrong of the chief priest to arrest Jesus like that. It wasn't right. What about Judas? They're going through it all in their minds. You know, we thought Jesus was going to be the one that was going to come and deliver us. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the chosen one. And look where it's all gone wrong. Everything's gone pear-shaped. And this is their conversation as they're walking on the road. You know, we really thought Jesus was going to be the one. And then the Bible tells us here in verse 15, it says, and so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And Jesus said to them, he says, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then they began to tell him, oh, Haven't you heard about what's happened? Elvis, Jesus was taken, he was wrongly arrested, he was crucified. And it's been 3 days since all that happened. Are you the only person living in Jerusalem that hasn't heard and hasn't experienced and witnessed what's been going on? He says, then they go on and say, look, besides all that, some of the women from our group, some of the people from the, what was their little number, he says, they went down to the tomb this morning and they found that the stone had been rolled away and the body of Jesus had been taken. He's gone. Just listen. What Jesus says then, verse 25. He said, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Just like verse 27, this he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He began with Moses. And he said, look, he says, Moses showed you that the Christ must suffer. Then he went to the prophets, and he went to all the prophets, because the Bible says in all the scriptures the things concerning him. He went through right from the very beginning. Now, they didn't have the New Testament there, it was just the Old Testament. They had the law and the prophets, and he went through every single part of those books. And he said, look, this is what the scripture says. The scripture says this. The scripture says this. The scripture says this. You know, for millennia, God had spoken and declared through the prophets that Jesus would come. They declared and spoke that Jesus was going to die, that he was going to be raised to life again. And as we're talking about the integrity of the Word of God, one thing we can see from that is that God is a God of his Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 160, that the entirety of your Word is truth. You know, God's Word is truth. Another verse in that same Psalm, Psalm 119, verse 89, says that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It's established. You know, as God has spoken it, so it must happen. I was doing a little bit of research yesterday on the prophecies concerning Jesus in preparation for this morning, really. And I came up on this site on the internet, which actually gave, now I don't know quite how accurate it is, but it seemed to list a whole lot of prophecies, prophetic utterances concerning Jesus. And then it said this, talk about the odds. Now I don't understand odds. But it says on this website, and if you want to look at it, I can give you the reference for it. But it says, the odds of all the prophecies concerning Jesus being fulfilled. Now this, I don't understand this numbers, and you may not either, but if you're mathematical in any way, perhaps you'll grasp it. The odds are, of all the prophecies concerning Jesus being fulfilled, are 10 to the power 38. That's, according to the website, that's 1 in 100 billion, 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 billion. Now that's the odds, that they'll all come to pass. Why? Because God is a God of his word. Every prophecy that God spoke, everything Jesus said, God said about Jesus, came to pass. And I just want to spend just a couple of minutes this morning just looking at some of those prophecies concerning the death. And on verse 9, it says this. Now this is a psalm of David. It says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Because John 13 tells us that Judas, one of Jesus' close 12, one of his friends, one of his number, one of the apostles, one of the disciples. Ate bread with Jesus. As Jesus gave him the bread, Jesus whispered in his ear and says, "What you do, do quickly." And he went out to betray him. In the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 12, it says this. "Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain." And it says, "They weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver." And then it goes on in verse 13, it says, "And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter." Now in Matthew 26, we see that Judas agreed to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew 27, filled with remorse after Jesus had been arrested, he goes back into the house of God, he goes back into the temple, and he throws the 30 pieces of silver down at their feet and says, "I've betrayed innocent blood." And what did they do with those 30 pieces of silver? They bought a piece of field, a piece of land that belonged to a potter. The word of God came to pass. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, we read this frequently as we come to the table of the Lord. It says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Again in Matthew 27, we read the words that Jesus stands before Pilate, and he doesn't, or before the courts, he doesn't say a word. He opens not his mouth, according to the prophecy of Isaiah. They took him out as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, he opened not his... He didn't retaliate, he didn't answer back any of the charges. He kept quiet. The psalmist said of prophesying of Jesus, it says in Psalm 34:20, it says he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. In John 19 we see that Jesus is on the cross, and the soldiers that were looking after him, they came because it was getting close to the Sabbath, and they knew they couldn't leave him hanging on the cross. The quickest way to kill him was to break their bones, break their legs. And they broke the legs of the two thieves. You can read it in John 19. Then they came to Jesus. And they saw that Jesus had already died. He'd already committed. They did not break his bones. Why? Because the prophecy said not one of his bones would be broken. The prophecy of Zechariah says this, that they will look upon him whom they pierced. You know, because Jesus... they didn't have his bones broken. They just thought, well, they just better make sure he is dead. And he's just... So they thrust a spear into his side, and out came blood and water. They pierced him. Not only was he pierced with the nails, he was pierced with a spear. The psalmist in Psalm 22 prophesied that these words, says, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." We see the same thing happen around the foot of the cross. The soldiers throwing dice to see who would get his cloth, his garment. Then listen to this. Psalm 16, verse 10 says this, "You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." David prophesied that God would not leave his soul in hell. A few psalms later in Psalm 30 it says this, "You brought my soul up from the grave. You've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit." The prophet Hosea says this, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. You know, the prophet spoke that Jesus would be betrayed. Jesus would die. Jesus would rise again. Let's have one more. We've already touched, it's already been read and mentioned this morning. But in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. In Jonah 2:6, it says, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. And then in Matthew 12, as we read just a few minutes ago, Jesus said, look, it says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Even down to how many days and nights Jesus would stay in the tomb. You know, not one word of the prophecies of God failed, that God had spoken for thousands of years. You know, I want to just read one more verse. Now, I read this verse just a couple of days ago as part of my normal readings. And it really was from this verse that God began to speak and show me what I should share this morning. In Joshua 21, Joshua 21, verse 45. Now this is the reference, what Joshua's talking about here. He's talking about what God had spoken to his people to bring them into the promised land. But it's relevant for any prophecy of scripture. Here it says in Joshua 21, 45, it says this, not one word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Not one word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. And then again, Joshua recounts that in chapter 23. He says, behold, this day I'm going to go the way of all the earth. In other words, what he's saying, look, Joshua pronounces to the house of Israel, he says, I've run my course now, I'm going to die. You know, I've done what the Lord had purposed for me to do. You know, I've brought you into this land. He says, now I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one word of them has failed. You know, God never breaks his word. You know, what were the odds of all those prophecies that spoke by different prophets, different people throughout those thousands of years? What were the odds of them all coming to pass in one man? Well, I gave you those odds. Whatever it is, 10 to the power 38. Now, I can't comprehend that number. But everything God says will come to pass. We can trust his word. Everything he said about Jesus came to pass. Not one word of it failed. Everything Jesus said concerning himself came to pass. And that's why I believe the angels spoke to them that day and said, look, go remember what he said to you. Why? Because God's word cannot fail. And how can I say that with all, every ounce of conviction I've got? God's word cannot, well, one, because God's word itself says that. But two, because of the resurrection. The fact that Jesus is alive, the fact that God raised him from life again guarantees the word of God to us. It guarantees us that God will honor his word because God kept his word concerning Jesus. He sowed Jesus into the earth Jesus came. We remember it at Christmas. He did all that the prophet said he would do. How the lame would leap for joy. You know, how the tongue of the dumb would sing. The eyes of the blind would... Jesus did all that. He fulfilled it all. God said that he would be betrayed. Jesus was betrayed. Even down to the number of coins. He said he would go to the cross. He would die. He would be raised to life again. Yeah, the resurrection guarantees the word of God. That's how we can... You know, if anything, we... if we're in doubt, there's a scripture, I believe it's in the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. I'll just read it to you. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. It says this. Paul's writing to this young man, Timothy, says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember, Jesus was raised from the dead. The Amplified says this, it says, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has risen from the dead. Why? Because the resurrection is our guarantee. God raised Jesus. God did the impossible. That's why we can take his word. That's why God's word is true. If God has spoken, you can believe it. You can stand upon it. You can build upon it. You know the foundation. This verse has been quoted this morning already. If Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile. If Christ isn't risen, then God's word will not stand. But because Jesus is alive, we can say this is our guarantee of the good things that God has said. Amen.